Mail It In Friday on Overdrive, brought to you by Coors Light, mountain cold refreshment made to chill. Brian Hayes, Jonah Siegel of The Athletic. Jay Billis will join us here in just a few moments. And he was on the panel last night, and they were all in attendance. I thought the NBA did a great job of bringing out all the players, bringing out their families, and like that was really, really cool. The introduction and
letting them show off the fashion. Like, what did you what did you think of Jalen Green's bell bottoms? Did you
honestly
see those?
I saw them. Like, that was the loudest suit. It was like a silver suit.
It was like shimmering.
The bell bottoms. Are bell bottoms in again? I mean, I have no understanding of what is fashionable and what is not, let alone if you're 18 or 19 years old. Like, you're talking to a guy right now. I am dealing with some anxiety at this point because I have not mowed my lawn in a few days. Like, it's been more than a few days, but I should have mowed my lawn earlier this week. And it has dawned on me that I am becoming completely out of touch, Jonas. That's a concern.
Why is it a concern?
It's a concern because I guess curb appeal, your neighbors, people are walking around, driving around. There's a lot of people walking dogs. And, you know, you just don't want to give off the impression like it's a complete mail-in.
Why are you slacking? Like, what's the deal?
There's really no explanation for it. I play golf a little bit too much. It's probably a bit of an issue trying to prepare for the show. I'm watching the Olympics. There's a lot going on. And, I don't really have any reasoning that makes sense. I would love to go right after the show, go out and mow the lawn. I like a good late-night lawn mowing. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. You get out there when the sun's still up, but it's not as warm, you know, and you just get out there and do your thing. But by 7 o'clock, I go upstairs, my kids are going nuts. And the idea of me telling my wife, like, figure that out for 45 more minutes. I'll be back in when I get the weed whacker out, you know, front lawn, back lawn. It's a tough sell. So I'll be up early tomorrow morning bothering people in my neighborhood because that is my priority, not
one of those
bell
guys.
Bottoms. Yeah, but I support the loud suits.
Me
That's
too.
What the draft is all about, right? Get crazy, man. It's your night. Do whatever you want to do. Thought the parents looked good. A lot of the dads looked slick, man. They had nice suits on, cruising around. It was awesome. I thought the NBA did a great job last night.
Agreed.
And Scotty Barnes is coming to Toronto. When will he step foot in the city of Toronto? That is the question, because they would be on their way up here now, right? Like, they would have flown up last night, if not this morning. Like, that is generally the routine. You fly into your town, you get the lay of the land, you do your press conference, you check out Scotiabank, you see where you might live. I don't know what the protocols are on that.
Did you see this morning that he was – I love this thing. I love these kind of things. He was late to his media availability because why, Hayes? He was at the gym.
Gym. Yeah,
I would just make that up.
So would I.
It sounds so good.
Yep.
He's very likable.
I'd be hungover after getting drafted. I wouldn't have been at the gym. I'd be sleeping.
Well, technically they can't be, right?
Based on age, is that what you're telling me,
Jonas?
In the
United States, yeah.
Yes. Legally, I guess you're not allowed to and you're not supposed to.
Unless you're one of the older prospects. Like, one of those guys was like 24, 23?
Oh, yeah. Some guys are going late. Like, if you're a four-year player at college, absolutely. You're 22, 23.
Well, and that's the thing with this guy. That's the other thing we didn't talk about, Hayes. He was a freshman this past year, and he came off the bench. And he's 6'9", and I think he was their point guard. Like, he's intriguing,
his assist numbers,
man.
Are high, man. Like, Suggs did not have that many more assists per 60 minutes than Barnes. So, you know, everyone's doing their drafting grades and
it's
everything.
It's the silliest thing, man.
It really is tough.
How can you give a grade?
Well, you know what it is? It's content. It's compelling.
I get it. I get it.
Yeah.
Right?
But it's absolutely incomplete. You know, and if you have the first overall pick and you take the presumptive first overall pick, how do you get anything but an A?
A plus.
Yeah, it's an A plus.
Nailed it.
The Pistons, man, you nailed it. You took Cade Cunningham. Everyone knew you were going to do that. I remember that when the Leafs had when they took Matthews. It was I got to give the Leafs an A plus.
Yeah,
you want to tell us about anyone else? We knew they were taking Matthews. It was they had a couple of picks in the second round last night, including a local kid, and Scotty Barnes going fourth, though, and that was the shocker because everyone was waiting for Suggs, and it did not happen. But you like it. You like going upside, and clearly they see him as a versatile player who's got to work on a shot. Everyone's seen that. Everyone's heard that. coming into the draft. It was something he's got to improve on. They have a history of doing that with some other players, like Siakam, like Ananobi.
A guy in the Spurs used to not be able to shoot.
You're talking about DeMar DeRozan?
No, it's a silly comparison.
Remember, are you talking about who?
Kawhi Leonard? Came into the league, couldn't shoot.
That's right.
What happened now?
Yeah, that's
just a great comparison.
Yeah, Kawhi 2.0. But that comparison has come up in terms of like a guy who can kind of do it all, has all the tools, but has to, you know, he's got to fine tune his game, and that's what you'd expect when you take someone this young, right? So we'll see what Jay Billis has to say. But Delano Banton was the Toronto kid who goes to Western Kentucky, or he was there, and now I think he's at Nebraska. And he's a guard. He's a Toronto kid. I like that. The first time in Raptors history, they've taken someone from Toronto. So you get a little Toronto content. Forget Canadian content. And David Johnson was the other guard they took out of Louisville with the 47th pick. So Jay Billis will join us here in just a moment. The Jays are back home, and the lineup is out. It's not going to surprise anyone. I love that Stripling's on the mound. I don't know why.
Against KC?
Yeah, against Kansas City.
It's a very hot matchup.
Yep, Stripling knows what's up. And Chicken Strips is, you know, he's had his ups and downs this year, but it's not Manoa, who I believe will pitch tomorrow. It's not going to be Ryu. It's not going to be Robbie Ray, who's been outstanding. It is Ross, Chicken Strips, Stripling on the mound tonight. But Springer will hit leadoff. Guerrero will hit second. Semien third. Bichette fourth. Hernandez fifth. Gurriel, Grichuk, Espinal is playing third tonight. Alejandro Kirk, your boy behind the plate. So if you're one of the 15,000 lucky ones tonight, that's what you're going to see. And it feels good, man. It's been a long, long time. 670 days.
Wow.
Since they've played at the Rogers Center. 670 days.
Well, they were showing on the broadcast last night all the guys who haven't actually played there as Jays. It's like most of the team.
Well, yeah. I mean, Springer, Semien, Kirk has not been up here as a Blue Jay. Chicken Strips has not been up here as a Blue Jay. Hyunjin Ryu has not been up here as a Jay. Robbie Ray, Manoa, right? Like, you go down the list. Now these new guys are here. Obviously, Barrios, who they've just acquired today. Soria, he's coming in. Brad Hand. Like, they've acquired a lot of new guys, and none of them have been up here. And I guess that means they won't know any better. Like, Jose Barrios, I'm sure he's like, yeah, that's pretty sweet that I dodged Buffalo. Like, he'll never have to pitch in Buffalo as a Blue Jay. Just right to Toronto. Set up shop. And he's scrambling like everyone else, but at least he's a part of the team, right? Like, I'm sure accommodations and stuff are something that they've had to put a lot of work into. Guys are looking for places to stay. Like, the team would help with that. Team services would help with that. But it's the start of a new era here. I think the fact that they're home and the fact that they're all in for the rest of this season, which answers a question that I think we've had for quite some time, that they weren't going to punt on this season. They weren't going to sell at the deadline. That wasn't going to happen. The trade deadline has come and gone. Marcus Simeon's playing tonight. Robbie Ray is still here, as they should be. But they're 4.5 back of a wild card. They're going to go for it, right? Still got a couple months left of ball. You can still you get hot. They got to get really hot. They got to play like 600 baseball, if not better than that. It may not be likely, but it's a possibility. It's not completely out of the realm of possibility, but more so about next year. Like, you look at the guys who are in the lineup tonight, unless you see major trades, Springer's back, Guerrero's back, Semien, I think, will walk, Bichette will be back, Hernandez will be back, Gurriel's under contract, Grichuk's under contract, Kirk is still under contract, right?
Yeah.
You got a lot of guys locked in where you know what you're dealing with next year. And the expectations, the bar has raised now. Like, now you don't even have to ask Shapiro or Atkins this offseason, do you think you got a winning ball club? They've told you the answer today. They're all in next year. Anything short of them being a playoff team next year will be a failure. And I like that they've established that. Let's go. Go after it. Go get it.
Well, and you look around at the division and you kind of think, I don't know what New York is going to be next year, right? Boston's going to be good.
They should be.
Tampa will be Tampa.
Yep.
So, like, they should be right there.
Well, they have to be at least right there.
Mm-hmm.
If not better than right there. Right? Like, if you're trading Austin Martin and Semien Woods-Richardson, that for a guy who has one more year left of control, you better pay it off next year. Right? Like they've got to be a playoff team next year. But as I said in the past hour, what I like about this is if you could take a step back and take yourself back to the end of 2016, which at the time we didn't know was the end of the run, but it was the end of the run. You know, in 17, it blew up in their face for the most part. And then 18 and 19, they were a terrible team.
Mm-hmm.
20, they got back on the rails last year, 500, expanded playoffs. And now this is where they are today. By 2022, opening day, that'll be 6 years into the plan. You know, like five full years and into your sixth of Ross Atkins, Mark Shapiro saying, we're going to dismantle this. We're going to blow it up. We're going to reload, and then we're going to go for it. If you're not prepared to go for it 6 years into the plan is a failure.
You just keep extending the plan, right? Haven't you seen in Vancouver?
There's a countless
didn't
examples.
Didn't Jim Benning say that? Like
Jimmy Benning,
we
yes.
need about three more years.
Couple
Sorry.
More years, Jimmy. I've been here for six or seven. I'm buying out guys I personally signed. But, yeah, give me a few more. The Rockets GM, you see his quote? A few months ago, we talked about it a ton on this show. He said, the Harden deal, you can't give me an answer on that. You can't truly evaluate my work for a decade.
That's why you don't trade for Ben Simmons.
Well, I'm not sure if there is a link there necessarily, but...
Yeah, because then the draft picks can just keep going into the future. You can't be judged. Keep your job.
You're saying Masai should be concerned about that?
No. You know how I feel about Ben Simmons.
You're all in. You're on board. So
I'm
you would like
Simmons.
To see a lineup of...
Oh, my God. How
Van
good
Vliet,
defensively?
Simmons.
Yeah.
Scotty Barnes, OG Anunoby, and what, Siakam playing the five?
Well, that's not going to work because you're going to have to trade something among that group to... To get him,
obviously,
right?
Yeah. To get Ben Simmons, yeah, I think. And I don't know what that piece would. It's going to be one of.
And then Hayes, you can teach him and Barnes to shoot together.
Yeah, it's like a package deal.
Yeah.
I get the impression like that's what Bobby Webster and Masai are thinking here. Like I'm not even sure if it's that progressive in forward thinking. I mean, the NBA is in a place now where. Everyone's got to switch off. Everyone's got to defend as many positions as possible. You have to be able to shoot the three. You know, you've got to be versatile.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that Nick Nurse was speaking on behalf of the team, but Bobby Webster doubled down as well after the night, that Scotty Barnes reminds them of Anunoby and Siakam. My initial reaction to that was fourth pick, you know, is that a high enough ceiling? But, like, Siakam's an NBA
all-star.
He was
all-NBA.
Yeah.
A couple years ago.
And like a legit high-end player. Is he a top 10 player? No. Will he ever be? No. Is he can he be somewhere in between, you know, 11 and 20, 25? Yeah, absolutely. Anunoby, is he ever going to get to that level? I'm not sure. But if he, you know, is in pursuit of an all-NBA defense or whatever it is, then maybe his value continues to grow and grow. But it's more so about how those guys play and how they're built and how fluid they can be in terms of their position. And I think that is what Webster and Ujiri are trying to get to here, where they have multiple guys who have size, have length, can anticipate, can defend, can shoot.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Hayes, look around
move
the East.
The ball.
So you're playing Milwaukee. Now you've got Siakam can defend him, Barnes can defend him, OG can defend him. You're playing Boston. You have to defend Tatum and Brown. You've got multiple guys who can defend them. Like, you're switchable. You can play all these different lineups. Like, maybe you can play Siakam at center. Maybe you can play Barnes at center. Like, apparently he was guarding centers in college. I like it. Like, this is where the NBA is going. They're on it, man.
Yeah, oh, I don't dispute they're on it. I do think that there's some little bit of arrogance behind how they feel about, you know, their ability to groom players. Because
isn't it
has,
earned?
They've earned it. They've Fred
earned Van it. Fleet wasn't drafted.
That's right.
And Siakam was like a late pick.
Yep. Anunoby was a mid-first rounder.
OG's mid, right?
That's right. No, they've developed those guys for sure.
Where did Norm Powell come from? Second round? Second round, right?
Second round. Yeah. No,
I don't know. They've kind of earned it.
I can give you Bruno Caboclo, and like we can go the other
way as well. Yeah, but you know what that was, right? Like, you know what that was.
It was a massive reach that obviously never worked out. But that's the point. Like, I think it has worked for some guys. So the question would be, with Suggs, do you feel like you're definitely getting something? You know, might he be a 7 out of 10 and that's it? Sure. Could Barnes get to 9 out of 10, but at this point he's a 5 out of 10? Like, it depends on how you look at it. and how much faith do you have in your system? They should have faith in their own system. I'm not disputing that. It's their system. They better believe in themselves. But the concern, the devil's advocate on this pick over a guy like Suggs would be, are you overthinking it? Are you overconfident with your own development? Do you just believe anyone you get, you can develop and get to a point where they're, you know, truly productive across the board? And we'll have to see. But
even if he can't shoot, right, he can still be a super valuable player. Like, Draymond Green can't shoot.
And those comparisons came up last night.
I saw. I love the top-end comparison, right?
It's always the top end. Yeah, it always is. It's always a scenario where it's like, this guy is going to be basically a Hall of Fame lock. Like, I think Kendrick Perkins said that a couple of times last night.
Yeah, he said that about Mobley.
It was Mobley.
Was it Mobley?
I think it was Mobley. It's like, if this guy does this, and that, he'll just have a Hall of Fame career. Yeah, that sounds about right. Okay, that makes a lot of sense to me. I see where you're going with that. All right, so Chad Ford will join us just after 6:05. We're trying to track down Jay Billis. I don't know if we'll be able to get him on. Scotty Mitchell will be coming up from the park a little bit later on as well. We'll continue with the Jays activity today. All the activity throughout baseball is a wild day. Like, this is why you have a defined trade deadline, right? This is why you don't allow it to leak into August, or you can place guys on waivers and then still flip them. You want something defined. 4 p.m. on this day, you got to make your deals, because Baez is out, Kimbrel's out, Bryant's out, Scherzer and Trey Turner going to the Dodgers, Barreiro's coming here to Toronto. Like, these are massive names moving around, like big names in baseball moving around, and it's just like the NHL's trade deadline, the NBA's. You got to have some action, because the next time you want to go trade for a guy, it's going to be in November. And that's another reason why I like the fact that the Jays were proactive here on Barreiros, because you get to November, there's a lot of teams that reshuffle the deck, and they feel like they're good enough to go after them and pay the price. Right now, teams that aren't that good, they're not going to pay for that guy. Like, it's a limited amount of teams that would be willing to go and pay the price to get him, because at this point, there's only so many good quality teams in 2021. You reset, maybe in November, you think you're pretty good for 2022. You get into that pool, and all of a sudden, it's going to cost you more, or you're not comfortable with the price because it goes up. So I like the fact that the Jays said, we're buying now for the rest of this year, but more importantly in 2022, let's go get it. It's a steep price, no disputing that, but I think it'll work out for them. And at some point, you got to put your chips into the middle. They've done that. So more on the NBA draft, the Jays in town tonight. Some NHL news and notes out there, too, that caught my eye, including what the Rangers are up to. We'll touch on that. Jonas Siegel's in here. I'm Brian Hayes. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. Chad Ford will join us, NBA draft insider, analyst. He'll give us his grades for the Raptors last night.
We love those.
We love the grades, so we'll see what he thinks about Scotty Barnes and the 2 second-rounders, including a local kid, a Toronto kid, that the Raptors took with the 46th pick, Delano Banton, who's playing in Nebraska. And we'll catch up with Chad, get his take on those two picks as well. The NHL... We talked a lot about the Rangers and the Capitals and Tom Wilson and what happened with him and Panarin at the end of the year there. And it was, listen, it got carried away. I remember saying at the time I would have suspended Wilson just for his role in the whole melee, get him out of there. Because remember, they were playing the next night, I believe it was, or 2 nights later, back at the Garden. And you knew all hell was going to break loose. But in between those games, the Rangers, and I believe it was the owners, or the owner, issued, in my opinion, one of the most embarrassing statements in sports history, crying on paper about Tom Wilson and the league and how, you know, disturbed they were that Tom Wilson was playing in the league and how dare he act the way he acted. And then after all of that, I remember coming in the next day saying they are setting themselves up for hypocrisy. Like, they're setting themselves up to prove that they're hypocrites, because all hell is going to break loose tonight. And remember, Buchnevich cross-checked some guy in the face, got suspended for it, which I thought was worse than anything Wilson did. Fights happening all over the place. And then what do they do today? They go out and acquire Ryan Reeves, who is as tough as nails, will fight Tom Wilson next year at the Garden, I guarantee it. And it's the same owner. So that goofy letter that he wrote that was a joke at the time looks even more silly today, because the Rangers, listen, they got beat up. And they've decided now they don't want to be beat up anymore. So they're picking up tough guys, and Ryan Reaves is going to lead that charge.
And didn't they say in that letter, Hayes, that George Parros, was it George Parros?
Yes, to be fired? Parros had to go. Yep. No faith in him anymore. Can't have confidence in this guy.
And so they're all in on this strategy because obviously they trade Buchnevich, who's good and young and obviously needed a contract. And then they sign Barkley Goodrow to this large deal that's going to be hard for him to live up to. Like, they're, man, it's interesting what they're trying to do.
Yeah, well, they're turning over a new leaf, and I think the owners basically said, you got to get after it.
Yeah.
You got to be tougher. Even though I don't like the toughness, you got to be tougher. And I think that's probably what Chris Drury was selling them on. We'll get into that a little bit later on this afternoon. Scott Mitchell again coming up from the Dome. Over 600 days since the Jays have been in town. Scotty Barnes would be here tonight. I think he'd be throwing out the opening pitch, but I don't think he's coming across the border anytime soon. But he is the newest member of the Toronto Raptors, alongside a couple guys in the second round last night, and a man that was in the building last night. I'm sure it felt very different to broadcast the draft compared to what we saw a year ago. He is ESPN college basketball analyst, big draft junkie as well, big part of what ESPN did last night. Here's Jay Billis joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. How you doing, Jay?
Great. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well. How was that experience for you last night?
Yeah, it was fun. Felt back to normal, so it was nice to be back in the Barclays, and we've done so many drafts there, so it was good to have another one.
Scotty Barnes at four. Before we get to who they did not take, let's talk about who they did. How do you feel about this pick, and what are the Raptors getting in Barnes?
Well, Scotty's an outstanding prospect, and he's there's not a better young man that was drafted. He's a great kid and a great teammate, and he's all about winning. You hear that about guys, but with him, it's really true. And everything he's asked to do, he does. He doesn't care how many points he scores. He just cares whether his team wins, and he's willing to do the tough stuff. He's a freak body type. His arms go forever. You know, he's a legit, 6'9" and plays the point guard and can guard anybody. You know, his defense is next level. He doesn't shoot it, but I think he can improve upon that to where you'd have to go out and guard him. But he wasn't drafted to be a scorer. He's drafted to be a playmaker and defender and winner. And he's still so young. So as he gets more mature, his game matures and all that, I think he's got a chance to be an outstanding NBA player.
So the guy they didn't take, who everyone thought they were going to take, was Jalen Suggs. When you saw that the pick was in, what was your reaction to the Raptors taking Barnes over Suggs?
Surprised, not shocked. I mean, we knew that the Raptors liked Barnes, but we thought that Suggs would be the pick there. But it happens. But it's not, that stuff happens every year where somebody gets taken a little bit earlier, three picks earlier, four picks earlier. You know, this is one pick earlier, so it's not some crazy happening. But especially if you like a player, you take them. And that's what Toronto did. So, but it's one of those picks you couldn't really go wrong in the top five because the talent in this draft was such a high level group of players.
Jay, is there anything we should do with mock drafts to, like, it almost didn't feel fair to Scotty Barnes that because every mock draft said Jalen Suggs was the pick that it's like they reached. Like, is there anything we can do to make this system not so, I don't know, fallible to that stuff?
Well, I don't understand. What do you want to do?
I don't know.
Never do a mock draft again.
I don't know. What can we do?
By being taken fourth? No, this is big boy school. I mean, if anybody's upset about it, too bad. That's part of what makes it interesting is the mock drafts. And people have interest in all this stuff. So, where you get drafted is a big deal on draft night. It's not a big deal after that. So, he's with Toronto now, and what difference does it make whether people predicted it or whether it was a surprise or all that stuff? I think it's just nice people care. So, I'm not on board on that one, but keep running up the flagpole.
I hate it.
That's a nice way of saying
I read them all.
Don't ever ask me that again. That's a ridiculous question.
Let's not have birthday parties for anybody so they don't get
right. Don't keep score or anything. Exactly. That's what we're pushing for up here with Jay Billis of ESPN. It feels like, this front office, which is not a surprise. I'm not sure this is even being progressive. This is where the NBA probably is right now. But they'd be happy with five guys who are 6'8", 6'9", that could play every position. And they want OG Anunoby. They want Siakam. They want Barnes. Like, they want size, versatility, defense. Is that your impression of where Masai and company are bringing this Raptors team?
I think that's where most franchises are. Now, if you're going to get a transformational big guy, you're going to take him. If you're going to get a small point guard that can really play and really shoot, you're going to take him. But I think there are so many versatile wings out there that can, you know, dribble, pass, and shoot. You know, if you can get multiple players like that that can spread the floor and really stretch a defense, I think you want to take advantage of that. And then when you can switch actions and not take a step back where you're putting your team in a mismatch situation and you know, having problems created by a defensive switch, it's awfully nice when you have interchangeable parts. So, but it's great to say that, and it's great to, in theory, but it's hard to get. But they're doing a pretty good job of getting that. But that's where the game's headed. There are more of those players available, but you're still going to have teams that are going to have traditional bigs, and then Toronto's going to have to deal with that. So you're really going to have both. And we say guys can guard 1 through 5. But not everybody can. It's of the guys that we say can do that. Really, the truth is not everybody can. It's pretty rare that you can have some of these wings that can actually guard a five for an extended period in a possession. So, what I think will be interesting is if you get teams in the future, in the near future, that say, you know what, we're going to go this direction and make these really versatile teams. They're going to have to guard the way we play. And I would love to see a little bit more of that, where you've got a little bit of a, you know, more styles that you have to deal with, and more including body styles. We're never going to go back to, you know, the Twin Towers where they got, you know, two big guys in the low post that are clogging things up. That's not going to happen again, at least in my judgment. But I think we're going to see more of what Toronto's doing rather than less.
Do you have a gut feel for which of those top three guys will end up being, I don't know, the best player 10 years from now?
Cunningham. Yeah, Cunningham will. But who knows? I mean, like, he's the best talent. But, you know, Mobley could wind up being great. I mean, that's why I likened it to 2003 is, you know, that year, if you had the fourth pick that year, you were picking between Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. I mean, you can't screw that up. So it's not, you know, it's just a question of what you want. And both those guys are going to the Hall of Fame, as is Carmelo Anthony and LeBron James out of that draft. I don't know if that'll happen out of this one, but I think Cunningham's got the best chance to knock on the door in Springfield.
With Jay Billis, before we get you out of here, we'll ask you about the second round picks by the Raptors. Delano Banton out of Nebraska, who's a Toronto kid. You know, they take a local kid. David Johnson, a guard out of Louisville. Can you tell us anything about their games and the likelihood of them making any impact on this team in the next 2 or 3 years?
Yeah, both of them fit what you were talking about before, that they've got some versatility. You know, Bam's got long arms. He can guard. He can get up and down the floor, handle it. And then same thing with David Johnson. You know, Johnson, I thought, was going to become a little bit of a better shooter. He has improved in that department. But, you know, he's long-armed and really athletic. And I think he can really pass it. He's got good vision and he sees things and can deliver it. And he's a confident player, but he can defend and a really good, strong athlete. So they kind of fit the mold of what Toronto did throughout the draft.
Great catching up with you, Jay. Great work last night. We'll do it again down the road. Thank you for this.
Appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
There's Jay Billis of ESPN joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Don't be nervous having your trade-in appraised. Maple Toyota makes it easy, offering the maximum value for your vehicle. Get your no-obligation appraisal today, MapleToyota.com. I'll give you the floor, Jonas, because I think you need to explain yourself when it comes to mock drafts. And
I think the
you want them abolished?
No, I just think there was like a reaction to that pick that somehow it was wrong. Like they did something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all just based on everyone reading mock drafts that said that they were guessing that Jalen Suggs was going to be the pick. Like, I think we need to figure out that just because a mock draft says this is likely the pick, and even if all of them are saying that, that doesn't mean like it's it's going to be the pick. And that means,
of course not.
And it doesn't mean that the players who's picked there is wrong, or we have this thing like a guy fell. Like, they fell according to some like imaginary mock draft that is not real. You know what I mean?
It holds no bearing whatsoever, I think.
But that's the way we do it. We do it in the NHL, too. Like, a guy we say fall, but fall according to who? According to, like...
According to whoever
mock
is
drafts. Like, it's not real.
Draft. Yeah.
So, like, the team may be saying, like, he didn't fall for us. You know
what
I mean?
Well, that's what the Raptors are saying. They don't care how anyone feels about Jalen Suggs. It's not that the Raptors don't like Jalen Suggs. Sure, they do. They like Scotty Barnes more, so they took him. It's even more prevalent in the NFL. Like, no one does mock drafts like the NFL. ESPN, Fox, CBS, they spend 3 months doing mock drafts. Like, mock draft 1.0, 2.0, 3. Nothing's changed, but, you know, breaking news, massive change in the mock draft. The draft hasn't happened. There's been no activity. They haven't played any games. But some guy's moving up and down the board. I do think it's – a lot of it is – clearly it's conjecture.
And it's strategic.
It's strategic. Some of it is insight. You know, like, you have sources and you're asking people, what are teams thinking? What are you hearing about how this team might lean? But then come draft night, the best mock drafter might get 25% of the picks right. You know, 30% of the picks. But I don't blame those that are putting out the mock draft or that are trying to inform people. It's that people don't follow along close enough. So how many Raptors fans who wanted Jalen Suggs picked last night have ever seen Scotty Barnes play? So you don't have the information. And I'm not blaming it. It's not like I've seen him play 15 times. If you're watching the Leafs, Raptors, Blue Jays, NFL, you're watching pro sports, you're not watching what's going on, you know, in the ACC. You're not tracking what's happening in every game of the tournament. You have your own life. You've got other things going on. So what you do is you get caught up in, this is saying Suggs is clearly the pick. So it should be the pick. Well, Masai and company, more importantly, the scouts, they have seen all of them play live many times. They have met them many times. They have had them in the gym working out. You don't have access to that. So all you can go on is what ESPN's going to tell you, TSN's going to tell you, you know, about the mock draft. But
I guess what I'm saying is, as fans, we shouldn't take these things as – whatever the word
is. No, but like, they are incredibly entertaining.
I love them. I eat them up. But like,
everyone eats them up.
I'm not taking it as like, I don't look at it as like fact. Like, that's exactly what's going to happen. And
of
because these mock drafts are all saying, and I think we do that, and I don't honestly think it's fair sometimes to the kids in the draft. Like, we say they fell. Like, remember, we were talking about Aaron Rodgers. Like, didn't Green Bay just have him like on the top of their board and they just took him because he was still there?
Yeah, yeah.
And they had Favre, and they're just like, well, whatever.
No one had him dropping that far.
And then I remember they showed him in the green room, and he was just sitting there. It worked out.
It worked out. Yes, worked out.
Whatever.
It worked out, Jonas. I hear what you're saying.
I know what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying. That's all that matters. Just like, the only thing that matters is where you get picked. Bill has said it, though. You know, the only time it matters is that night. Beyond that, you're just, you know, You're a property of that team, and you got to work for that spot. Fact of the matter is, someone's going to go. Someone went 17th last night or 28th. Someone in the second round will turn into a perennial all-star. So, who is it? No one knows right now. No one cares right now.
Where did Giannis go? Like 15, 13, something like that?
Giannis, I think, went 11th. Yeah, he went, and like Kawhi went 15th, I believe.
And then was traded for George Hill.
Kobe Bryant went
13th, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that's not, that's going to happen.
We should do, like, revisit your draft grades.
That never comes up because no one cares 4 or 5 years later how people grade.
We revisit how the draft should have gone, but not our grades.
Yes.
Anyway.
That is true.
I'm chirping, like, people who do what I do. I get it. It's hard.
And that's the concern. We got Chad Ford still coming up, and Chad Ford, like, loves a mock draft. So... maybe you can find a way to pose that question to him and
no
see what
understands.
Kind of reaction we get from him.
No.
No?
I got something NHL I want to run by you that I think is funny. If we have, do we
okay,
have time
let's
now?
Come back and get into that. Right. Yes, we got time. Chad Ford coming up. Scott Mitchell coming up. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. And Chad Ford will join us. We'll get back into the NBA draft last night. We're talking about Ryan Reeves being acquired by the Rangers. Then they signed him to a one-year extension, so he'll be on the books there for 2 years. Whenever a team feels like they're soft, they go and try to get a guy like Ryan Reeves. Remember Pittsburgh did it years ago? They felt like they were being beaten up. They're like, we got to get Reeves. And then after that, Vegas was like, if we want to start strong, we got to get Reeves. But a lot of those like mainstays in Vegas are moving out, you know, like Fleury and Holden, Ryan Reeves. So they're still going to be a very good team. Alex Tuch had surgery today. He's out for 6 months, which means he will be out until, I guess, the new year.
Yep.
That's pretty extensive rehab for him. But there's some things going on. Zach Werenski getting a long-term deal.
What do you think of that? Big money.
Talk about leverage.
Yeah.
He had more leverage than Connor McDavid because Columbus could not allow someone else to leave. Could not allow it. And he got $9.53 million, which means he's paid more than Seth Jones. Not a coincidence.
He's younger, though. Remember that.
I hear you, but I don't know if he's as good. He's, you know, he's a very good player. The point being is I don't think it's a coincidence that Werenski said, if you want me to stick around, Jones got that. I'll take a little bit more. And Columbus is like, we need you to stick around. Because run off the list of guys who have decided we got to get out of here.
Well, and
they couldn't let another guy go.
Yeah. But, like, they're never going to spend the cap.
What does that have to do with Werenski's
deal, though? I
don't know.
Like, does it matter if they pay him 7 or they pay him 9? Like, I don't know. I guess.
Well, I mean, everything, every dollar counts. Like, you kind of want to value the player with where – Zach Werenski's a really good player. This last season was a complete write-off for him. But he's really good. Really
good. Only, like, 24. Like,
yeah,
you're buying the best years.
I'm not disputing that, Jonas. What I'm saying is –
Oh, no, I'm not arguing. I just don't – I don't have a problem with it.
I think they were desperate. They could not let another guy say, you know what, I'd prefer to leave.
Yeah.
So he had all of the leverage. And he got every penny he possibly could. Like, it probably got to a point where they're like, all right, we got to stop now. Like, that, we just can't go any further. He's like, okay, I'm not giving you 8 years. I want more than Jones. If not, I'm just going to publicly request a trade. And they're like, oh, we can't do that. So, okay, yeah, we'll give you whatever you want. There it is. There's your contract. Because Columbus is so desperate to make it look like people actually like being there. What's so funny to you, Jonas? You found something funny
about
the National Hockey League?
I thought you would appreciate this. So I was wondering, like, you look on, like, Cap Friendly, and you look at some of the free agents that are still available, and you see some of these names, and you're like, Zach Parise, Kyle Palmieri, Casey Zizekas, and you're like, wait a second. I thought they were going back to the island, or signing in the island.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, obviously, these deals have not become official, and I read from Arthur Staple of The Athletic that Lou does not want these deals out there. He doesn't want to make them official because he does not want teams to know how much cap space they have. I just think that's amazing. Like, because so, like, maybe they offer sheet someone, like, the contracts aren't, I guess they're agreed upon, mm-hmm. but they're not official.
That is Lou Lamoriello in a nutshell.
Wow.
He has done that before. I remember examples of that where deals were done and it was a scenario like this. It's like, why aren't they done yet? We got a delay. Like, I think it happened when he was with the Islanders. It may have happened when he was with the Leafs too. Same kind of thing. It's like, no, those guys are definitely done. They're going back, but we don't know what the price is. And I'm not sure what his motive is behind that. Like, clearly they must be talking with another player about a contract.
Maybe
and that
it's
player
a
wants a little bit more
agent,
money.
Hayes.
Maybe it's a restricted free agent.
But man. Yep.
Maybe it's their own guys, you know, and they're still, but everyone bows to Lou. And, you know, we're digging up the oldest grave in town, but how he would have handled Matthews, Marner, and Nylander, it would have been completely different.
He would have traded one, and I don't think that's a better scenario, and he would have made a bad trade.
Why would he have made a bad trade?
I mean, look at the trade that they made with Taves. I don't think that's a good trade.
No, that in retrospect, he was really good, but they still made it to the conference final, did they not? Like, they still, they clearly looked at it and thought that they had, you know, Mayfield and Pellick. And
go look at some of the contracts he signed. He's not exactly Mr.
That's
Negotiator.
Not the point. No, that's I hear what you're saying. The point, it's not so much exactly what the dollar amount would have been. It's how it would have played out. Because
that's fair.
The players, the agents will not mess with him for whatever reason. Like, it's weird how, like, every other GM has to deal with leaks. When it comes to Lou, it's like we don't do that. Like, you just mentioned those players who it's believed they have deals done. Why are those agents, well, I'm sure prominent agents, not allowing the news to get out? Meanwhile, if it was another team, the news would be out.
Yeah.
Like, why does Lou get that level of commitment to his way of doing things, respect, whatever you want to label it?
They're scared of him. I don't know why, but they are.
Yeah.
But so tell me how it plays out. So let's play that out. So Nylander doesn't come to camp, right? What happens? He just sits and he keeps waiting. Nope, not signing.
I'm not sure that he does get to a point where he's not at camp. Because
really? Okay.
Well, I think he believed he could play it out as long as he could, and eventually Shanahan and Dubas would call him up and give him the deal, which is exactly what happened.
On like the very last day.
Yeah. I think he looks at Lou, or his agent goes, Lou's not doing that. Like, you got to understand, Willie, if you go back to Sweden, you're not coming back. So we got to get this done now. Now, we'll squeeze every penny we can, and maybe it still would have been, you know, 6-5 or 6-7.
Or 6-9.
Maybe it would have been 6-9, but it would have been day one. It would have been the day before camp started.
Maybe.
That would be that's my guess. It's all hypothetical now. It's hindsight being 20/20. But I don't think the representatives of these players would have given them the same advice, because I think they would have said, we can't do that to Lou, because I'll tell you what's going to happen. Lou won't put up with it.
Do you think the organization would be in a better place?
It's impossible to say. I don't know. I mean, I don't know where they would have been with the contracts. I mean, I don't know. And I understand this market is different, and what comes with it is a different level of attention to these contracts and the hype that comes with it and the pressure that comes with being a management type here. It is different. Like, I will concede that. As much as I don't want to, I understand that it is. But I think in the end, one thing we don't talk about enough with the contracts of these three players, we're so focused on the number, which I think is absolutely important and should be the primary part of the conversation. But they didn't get any of them done for 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
And if we played the old if I had a told you game, that William Nylander, Mitch Marner, and Austin Matthews, none of them signed for 8 years. Like, it's actually shocking that that doesn't come up as much as it probably should, if ever. Never comes up. Braden Point, yeah, let's get it done, 8 years. I'm not going anywhere. Austin Matthews signed a 5-year deal. McDavid signed for 8. Draisaitl for 8. Point, 8. Vasilevsky, 8. Matthews, 5. Marner, 6. Marner has, like, his contract, compared to where it should be, it's an overpayment. He's still a great player, overpayment. I could chew on it a little bit easier if it was an 8-year deal. Mm-hmm. 6. 6 at 10-9. Willie, I'm in Sweden. Call me up. Oh, and by the way, 6, not 8. Crazy, man. Crazy they didn't get any of them for 8. Am I wrong, Jonas?
No, I think you're right. I can't argue that, and I think it's fair. And the way that they – I always thought – like, I remember that day when they made the change from Louis Morello to Dubas. And one of the big things was, like, you want this guy who's going to be guiding your team to be able to sign these contracts and try to, like, find a way to make them, I don't know, better, more ideal for the team. Because, like, Lou is Lou. And that didn't happen. Like, they just didn't jump on that stuff as quickly as they should have. And that is not hindsight. That was, like, something we thought at the time, like, we didn't understand why.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because it doesn't appear as if they've learned that lesson. Where, now, maybe these players would not have taken the deal the year before, but Dubas has always said, what did he learn from Lou? He said, if you have time, take it. Be patient. Well, then it went to the wire with these guys, and it happened with Hyman. And now it's happening with Morgan Rielly.
They're not going to be able to sign him, I don't think.
Maybe you can't, but maybe you could have got Hyman last year. I guarantee you could have. Zach Hyman wanted to be here. Now play it out. And he goes out and performs the way he does, and they can't afford him. And they're going to do it again with Morgan Rielly. Like, they didn't do it a year out of Willie, Marner, Matthews. They didn't do it a year out of Hyman. not going to do it a year out of Riley. Like, they're big boys. It's like, we'll wait until the – we'll do lame duck. And then they've been getting burned.
Those guys are different, though.
Well, but the point being is, Jonas, there's not one example of them doing it the other way.
Yeah.
Not one example of them being like, you know what, you're out, we're going to get in front of this. Yeah, we're going to bite the bullet now, it's going to look big, but a year or two from now, it's going to look good. And they haven't changed their philosophy on that. Final hour coming up, Scott Mitchell from the Dome, ahead of the Jays' return tonight. His take on the trades earlier today as well. And Chad Ford, more on the NBA draft. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.